from Aqueduct. A very good Thursday. Race fans, Sirius 162, XM 207, Sports Zone 999. If you're listening to Sirius XM online at our website, SteveBick.com, and back in South Ozone Park, making it a regular occurrence at this point. And we're going to talk to Dave Grenning, but he won't be sitting here. Dave, preparing for California, and I won't be far behind. I'll leave on Saturday. But, no Dave here. And I got a ton of stuff to cover with him, including the pre-entry news and notes, the notebook, plenty to consider. And I'm sure everybody, gave at least a quick perusal of the way these fields shaped up. And as expected, the big full fields, there'll be a couple of races, actually, that trim down a little bit with preferences. We'll discuss a lot of that with Dave. And the wait and watch is on for a number of decisions. I think the one that's seemingly headed to the classic next. And I had thought that Doug Cowens would gravitate to the turf just because of the added distance. But his quote yesterday was leaning classic, which does add a little bit of a interesting wrinkle, just one of the many discussion points in terms of the onslaught of international participation, a near record, second most the number of entries, and all that. Well, that kind of thing. There's 21 horses double entered, and a lot of the juvenile. The juveniles are good for that, and you got the filly and mares that consider both the turf and the filly and mare turf, and that actually is a notable spot because Cabo Spirit was not selected into the body of the turf, but will certainly run. Number one, if next goes to the classic, because next was actually put in front of Cabo Spirit. But there's the three filly and mares, Content, Emily Upjohn, and Wingspan. So there'll be some room. And it's important because Cabo Spirit's your speed. And there goes Harvard also for Cannon and Michael McCarthy waiting to get in. That's for those, the Gary Barber and Eclipse candidate. And speaking of Gary Barber, by the way, I'll slip in a quick hit on the sale. Sale has picked up a lot of momentum. Day two was better than day one, and then day three rolls around. There was a little bit of a little sense of desperation, I think, yesterday. Is that fair? Some people seemed kind of panic-stricken to get a few yearlings sent to their farms. Yeah, but Gary and Mark Cassie buying a Curlin that fetched $500,000. Noticing Gary's name. There's a lot to wade into here. We're also in the middle of day two of Carryover Palooza. New York takes center stage today with the pick six carryover. Yesterday, unbelievable. Yesterday at Keeneland. and even I was surprised because listening to the track feed, Scott Hazleton had mentioned, I don't know, what was the number at one point? He said, 1.8 I think the last number I heard was 1.7 million. So I didn't really think about it until the chart got published. And the final pool was 2.8 million. Unbelievable. And Jeremy and I also, I mean, I think we both kind of thought it would get close to 2 million, you know, 1.7 plus 300,000. Well, it blew way well past that. And the nice thing about the sequence, as challenging as it was, it ended up fairly formful. And the one clearly tough horse, who we will talk about in a second, but it ended up, you know, very much won by horses that, you know, you were on your list. And the final tally, $2,283 for the winner. So a lot of people cashed, which is great. That's always preferable to, you know, and pick fives, just because it's a pick five, and because there were a couple of spots where you could lean pretty heavily, including the nightcap, where Touchy was the shortest price of the sequence at 3-5, and really ran well. I mean, that Touchy was really not in doubt. Prominent early, Rosario riding him with a lot of confidence. So, you know, if you were live into the nightcap, you might have been live with other horses that might have paid better, and there were some nice will pays, but we'd like seeing these kinds of, you know, a lot of people cashing tickets, which is great. Strava started it out as the favorite, and the Norm Cassie drop down, Cody Rosen, and owner Troy Johnson claimed Strava, 5:40 to start it out. So I was more worried about this sequence and this race than need be, as it turned out. Although, Strava had to really work to get by Showtime, who ran very well. That Huge Bigley was 14-1, you know, and they used that one as well, but I had four A's. The horse who really did not run, disappointed badly, was that CFV Bullet. It was 18-1 and didn't lift a hoof. But anyway, Strava got it started, and, you know, everybody alive. But then came the horse that knocked out, you know, if you got knocked out early, it was by Pretty Pertinent. 26-1, $55, basically, $54.98. And Darren Miller, who I think most of us know best, the association with the Hamiltons and Silverton Hill, but the problem with this filly was there was no turf breeding. And I mean, as hard as you looked, and I actually, in my little write-up, you know, the little pre-race, you know, the little thing on the blurb I do, I specifically addressed this horse because she felt like a problem. And then Johnny put a great ride on, took over, and, you know, the turf is fast and firm, and she cruised. I mean, you knew turning for home that she was winning. I was nauseous. That dam, pretty prolific, you might remember. She was a grade one, a multiple grade one placed. She was a good horse. But, you know, the Leams map side of this, and I don't know. I thought enough of her to write about her from a fig standpoint. She was as fast as all the horses we talked about. Bird watching and One Front War and My Brazilian Girl, Pretty Pertinent. Her dirt races were as fast, basically, as all the other ones. That High Shot ran well, who I used, but I absolutely was sick to have a hint about this horse and not figure out a way to use her. So she was really the key. I mean, if you had Pretty Pertinent, you probably, you know, you probably were in good shape for the last three legs. And the third, you know, the third leg actually was not – Neon Icon took money and ended up going off the third choice. And she was, you know, she was a bit of a nibbler. I had her as an, you know, an exotic use as fourth. I thought that you could have gotten away with Everland and Landed and Intricate. In fact, I tried to get away with just Landed and Everland. Everland never threatened. Intricate was, you know, too far early. And the very capable, clever, and highly successful George R. Arnold II, the Rusty. Yeah, 1196, and so at that point you were in good shape if you got through to Neon Icon, because Arrest Me Red, what a ride by the Tory. Jeez, is he good. Went just favored, Arrest Me Red, paid $7.56, and Mustache was a good second. And then Touchy wins the nightcap. So 540, 55, 12, 750, and 3.25. $2,283. So congratulations to those who hit. This was a fun exercise. And on to New York. Let's see if we can't make it happen here. At the Big A. We'll watch for scratches, 10:30 or so. Got a fun morning. We've got, you know, obviously some of the Thursday conversations. But Dave Grenning here momentarily. Dave Hill later. Dave Hill, I made it all the way to Thursday and haven't even mentioned. 4-0. Dave writes the ship, clawing his way back. We'll see what he says about his parlays, about the teasers, because the teaser was over early. At least he didn't have to worry. He didn't have to worry about the teaser into Sunday, right? Because the Saints on Thursday. But Dave Hill 4-0 on sides last week. So feels like here as we reach the near midpoint of the NFL season, that Dave is rounding into form. As we said to one of the critics, Dave's track record is proven. He's a proven commodity. We'll check in with Jeff Franklin. We'll do the win using Thorograph. I've got to get to Rich Eng this week. We'll get his Breeders' Cup thoughts. And I'm sure Rich's analysis will be available at BrizNet. I know Joe Clancy, at the very least. We will have at least one Clancy. We don't know about the wee Clancy, meaning Sean. But Joe Clancy will check in, and we'll get Joe's post Far Hills thoughts and pre-Breeders' Cup thoughts as well. And we'll probably slip in another visit, or maybe even two. Dave Grenning, though, will get us started. And I'm just wondering, actually, I don't know, Brian, if you've, have you reached Dave before? I don't know if you've had to call Dave. You might, I would think you have, right? No? All right, I'll send you a number anyway. Dave Grenning. Momentarily. And boy, Dave is going to be indebted to me. My trips down here, and this is, you know, this is how I, you know, this is kind of, you know, one of my missions in life is to make life better for everybody. I'm trying to make Dave Grenning's life better. And when he comes back from California, So it's not going to be for what? For 2 weeks, actually. So I hope these windows are still clean. Dave, after I got him a printer, after they replaced the printer here,
Racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Let the summertime song.
The minute I walked in, I started to laugh because I walked in and the windows were like, I burst out laughing. Because I knew I was going to be able to tell Dave, and he'd be so excited. Dave Grenning, I think, is with us.
Are you serious that the windows are clean? Like, I mean, 100%. Are you really serious?
Dave, I come out here and you know.
I was there yesterday. Not that I was actually looking at the windows, but not yesterday, Tuesday. I'd love to know when they did that. That'd be dirty by the time I get back, but I'm stunned. I'm absolutely stunned.
When I was here Thursday, Pat said, "Can I do anything for you?" And I said, thanks for getting the printer for Grenning, the new printer. And I said, if you can do the window, so let me know what, do I have an assignment for next? What else do you need done?
I'll get back to you.
All right. Maybe can we resume food service here? Maybe get the.
That's not happening. Especially whatever they paid to clean the window, have the windows clean. I don't even think we'll get pizza on Wood Memorial Day.
Well, I walked in here and I burst out laughing because I saw right away that the windows had been done, and I said, "Oh, God, wait till I." Give this to Grenning.
If I knew that, I wouldn't have come out. I wouldn't have come out all the way out here for that. Because Welsh texted me yesterday and said, if you thought the aqueduct windows were bad.
Oh, all right. That's interesting. Well, so you are, I wasn't sure if you were traveling today or what your itinerary was.
I traveled yesterday.
Excellent. Well, I'm good. I tell you what. With me being here again, we may have to take the name down. The Dave Grenning press box. I've been here more than you.
I don't think so. But you've been there more than you've been there without me. But you haven't been there more than. I was in there Tuesday putting out PPs for this wonderful event. So.
Well, and with good reason, because we've got PPs and now it's a wait and watch, and after. After the Chosen Vron story, I think everybody's probably got a little pins and needles. This has been the scenario the last several years that, the horses will be watched very carefully and monitored. We'll worry about that more next week. Dave, let's review what happened when Dora Delgado and her staff laid out the pre-entries. Well, a near record number and a huge number of international participation, which we anticipated.
Yeah, look, the international contingent has risen over time. The Japanese contingent this year really took the international participation to the next level with 19 individual horses. I think 13 trainers have been pre-entered in races here. Three in the Classic and a couple of contenders elsewhere. They had success here, obviously, in 2021 with Marsh Lorraine and Love Only You. So why not come back? And it's an easier ship than it is to Kentucky, they say. They're all here already. They got in Tuesday, I believe. I don't know when they get out of quarantine. Maybe maybe sometime today and time to train tomorrow. I'm actually not at the track at the moment. I have to write my 3 aqueduct advances, so get those out of the way for Saturday. So, yeah, look, it's become a big time international event. Maybe it could happen over there one day, but who knows? That'll probably be long after I'm gone.
Well, and in terms of the numbers, you know, we had the review. For those that missed last Friday, if you want to hear about the 19 Japanese horses, Kate Hunter, we walked through all 19. It's it's basically the first half of Friday's show, so you can pick it off at the archive. But Aidan O'Brien himself, 19 horses. Charlie Appleby, 7. Baffert, 10. Chad Brown, 10.
Yeah, I think with referencing back what you said at the beginning here with we talked about the chosen brawn and horses that are going to be under a lot of scrutiny. Aidan O'Brien was on the conference call yesterday after they had the pre-entry announcement, and he was talking about a couple of horses. I want to say Luxembourg might have. I can't remember exactly which one. It was either Luxembourg or Illinois that he was talking about that had to He's going to have a veterinary exam on Friday to see if he's worthy of shipping over. Like Aidan O'Brien, he pre-entered 19. I bet cash money that all 19 don't show up. Back in 2018, he pre-entered 18, and he ran 14, and coincidentally or ironically went over that year, which is a rarity for him. Also, the last time he ran a horse in the Classic, which was Mendelssohn. But the vets are going to be, you better make sure that if you're going to ship a horse all the way over here that he doesn't have any issues that you think the vets are going to, not let him run, hurt him or her run for. So, it's great to have all these numbers. I think the 212 individual horses, we're already down to 209, I believe. Chosen Bond being one who's a scratch. Running Lion didn't come in. My conversation with Dallas Stewart the other day is he's going to run Dapper Moon in Sundays, not Saturdays, as my editor Steve Bick correctly pointed out to me this morning.
Why?
So those three horses are, you're already down to 209, it looks like. So and it'll shrink even further.
Well, as it does. Before we talk about the Classic in particular, you got three horses that have won, including Idiomatic and the interesting story of Big Evs trying to go from juvenile turf sprint winner to adult turf sprint winner, plus Rebel's Romance.
And remember, a little horse called Fierceness won the juvenile last year.
Yes,
and was going to try to win the Classic. So they have this four previous winners, three from last year, and then added in Rebel's Romance, the 2022 turf winner, and you have four previous Breeders' Cup winners scheduled to run.
A couple of other notes, and I know Matt Hegarty wrote the final race order story, the shifting, once the fields had come together, Dave, they're typically Breeders' Cup will adjust the placement of races, and so they moved a couple of things around, and one thing that jumped out at me actually. And it's a lead-in for you to talk about your major coverage, which is the Classic. It for all the consternation over it being mid-card, essentially, it is the most important race. And then from a bettor's standpoint, it's the anchor leg of the first pick five, and it's the opening leg of the second pick five. So There's actually a very good, a positive to come away from the mid-card placement of the Classic. I mean, if you start your handicapping there and build outward and then down, you know, that's how you can, I think, approach the Saturday wagering strategy.
Yeah, but you're making it sound like that's why they did it. I mean, they did it for TV purposes.
Yeah, of course.
No, that's why it was done. But I get, you know, the silver lining aspect of it. Look, they're all going to be tremendous betting races, with maybe the exception of a turf sprint. If you're against Cogburn, then you should be able to name your price on any horse, pretty much. I mean, he's probably the shortest price favorite on the deal.
It feels like it.
I'm not sure. And that's early. That's your second race of the day. TV dictated where the Classic was going to be placed. Some people got into a room and said, how should we outlay the rest of the card? And the Dirt Mile went from the first race on the Breeders' Cup docket last year to the last race this year, much to my consternation, because I thought I was going to get done earlier this year because the Dirt Mile becomes my race after, you know, starting today. And so now I have to stay for the whole, now I have to work, not just stay. I mean, obviously I was going to stay, but now I have to, you know, work till a very bitter end. So not thrilled that they put it there, but so be it.
Well, there's also, if we're going to talk about some consternation about the scheduling and placement, the Dirt Mile basically falls outside the main television coverage window, and will only be available on Peacock and on FanDuel.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's got a computer. Everyone's got a streaming. Not everyone's got a streaming service, but you'll find it. You want to watch the race, you'll find it. It is a little bit of, look. I got ticked off trying to find the baseball playoff.
That's fair.
So, I mean, and the NCAA basketball. There's four or five different networks these games are on. So it's, you know, you have to do a little bit of work to find it where they are. And when you find out where they are, you get the clicker, you set it on last channel, and you'll find it. Or you set up your computer. So, you know, but we're in a modern age now between computers, iPads, phones, and whatnot. Yeah. Let's not make the easy hard.
Fair enough.
There's enough hard. There's enough easy things in this game that are made hard. We don't need to worry about it. They tell you what channel's on. You look at your TV guide. You find out what your provider. What number the channel is on your provider, and you're there. Like a crazy.
back to the multi race wager conversation before we look at your two races, and back to my point about the Classic. There is virtually rolling pick fours. The only Breeders' Cup race that does not start a pick four. Before the wagering runs out, obviously the filly and mare turf starts the final pick four. But there is a pick four that starts with the filly and mare sprint, with the turf sprint, with the distaff, with the turf, and then there's the final pick four. So the Classic is part of both pick fives, the anchor leg and the starting point of the late. Then it's the second, third, and fourth leg of the middle pick fours. Start looking at that is something I would recommend to people. Start to get a feel for what races are hooked up. Both of the pick fives have got three dirt races and two turf races. There's the all dirt pick four and the all turf pick four. That gives you just, you know, your absolute cornucopia of multi-race options. So start to dig in. And you mentioned Cogburn. Ways and Means in that opening Saturday race for the Cup side, Ways and Means is going to be a very short price and seemingly a strong, you know, a strong possible. So you might start out here, Ways and Means and Cogburn, Dave, with, you know, two potentially short price winners.
Look, I'm a Ways and Means fan, but you got horses like Society in here.
Yep.
Silla, who's improving. and Vava. Showed that she, you know, Vava. So Sullivan Angel's been running well. So I hear what you're saying from a price standpoint, and the fact that it's the shortest field of the day, 11, you know, air quotes short. But there's still some there's some quality in here that you know, it's not going to be a any type of walkover for Ways and Means. Now maybe she becomes the favorite, and I get that. But you know, for a trainer who's won the last two runs, you know, running of this race. But there's, you know, there's at least four that I'm looking at in the field.
Well, the Friday card course as well, the juveniles, that kind of lays itself out. All five races are a pick five in themselves together, and you got the 3 2-day options, the juvenile fillies to the distaff, the juvenile to the classic, and the juvenile turf to the turf on Saturday. So three 2-day doubles to consider.
That's gonna, by the way, all these wagering opportunities, that's going to take you, that might provide more consternation than where these network, where these rates are actually being shown up, because there's so many wagers that you got a lot to digest there in terms of how many different wagers there are and what races are hooked up to what races.
Well, and one thing I want to slip in, considering that there is the all-turf pick four on Saturday, there's only one turf pick, $3 turf pick three on the weekend. That comes on Friday. The three juvenile turf races, the turf sprint, the girls' turf, and the boys' turf, that is a $3 opportunity, $3 all-turf pick three. There is not a $3 option on Saturday. 50-cent all-turf pick four instead.
I'm sure somebody will bitch and moan about that.
let's start with the classic, Dave. And I thought it was notable in your advance that Doug Cowens seems more inclined right now to put next. I know there's bigger headliners, but next's presence in the classic, I think, is a big story.
I do too, and I hope to flesh that out a little bit more with him today. He was going to look at the, you know. Officially, he's not even in the turf, right? He's one deep. I'm sure he can get in. I didn't study all the
back. He will, yeah, he would if he wants.
So he can get in. But,
yeah.
But, you know, yesterday was the first time I heard from him saying he was leaning toward the classic, whereas before he was sort of saying, well, that's what the jock wants to do, and that's what the owner kind of wants to do, even though he won't actually come out and say he wants to do it, but that's what he wants to do. And I just think he'll wind up in here. Look, there's always, he can run in all the grass races next year. He's doing so well. He's won seven races in a row by 91 and 3/4 lengths on the dirt. Why would you change surfaces at this point in time? Look, this is a solid classic field. The American horses, I don't think there's a super standout among them. City of Troy is Brad Freed's favorite. Forever Young, I think, could be second choice. I think you could even flip-flop those when it actually comes to, you know, to post-time favorite. So you're running against the Europeans and the Japanese. You're going to take on City of Troy on a surface City of Troy's never been on before. So why not? Why go up against some of these, you know, top European horses that are on the turf that are just superior to our horses anyway? So I've thought from the get-go it makes all the sense in the world to run in this race. So I've seen some people, and I hate doing this, you know, they say that, you know, he shouldn't run the Breeders' Cup. Why? What have you had to lose? If he doesn't run in the Breeders' Cup, what's he going to do? Wait till March and the Temperance Hill in Oakland? For what? You got to hope that race fills. What's the point? Running this race, he's doing fabulous. Find out if he can hang with in a mile and a quarter dirt race with all the doors that it opens up for possibilities for next year, whether in this country or another country. I don't necessarily think they're going to go anywhere else, but to me, we're playing with house money. And if he wins, who knows what that means? If he loses, then okay, you try him on the turf next year. But he's in, you know, raging form right now. I know he's not beating competition that's like what he's going to face here, obviously. But, you know, I think he's earned the shot. I hope they give him the shot, and, you know, he'll be a factor in the race.
Well, and just the fact that Brad Free, you mentioned Brad's line, City of Troy, 3-1 as the favorite, 7-2 Fierceness, Forever Young, 5-1, Ushba Tesoro, 8-1, Sierra Leone, and Next, 10-1. So he's got Next essentially midfield from a price standpoint, ahead of Arthur's Ride and Highland Falls, Tappet Trice, Skippy, Dermis Otagaki, Misto, Senior Buscador.
Yeah, and deservedly so. I mean, I'm not sure how they're going to bet Arthur's Ride in Highland Falls. You know, Arthur's Ride was really good in the Whitney and really bad in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. But he had run two monster races. Coming back on 4 weeks off, a second triple-digit buyer figure and good numbers elsewhere. And, he was probably in line to bounce. Now he's going to come in 2 months with a master conditioner, in his corner, on a track that favors his particular style. So, Arthur's Ride could potentially be dangerous in here if he's able to run back one of those Whitney or that allowance race that he ran. So, I'll be curious to see what kind of price he is. Highland Falls, he's been a little hit or miss, but he hit last time, and he too will have the same time frame with a terrific conditioner in his corner getting him ready. So it's a fun, interesting race, but I'm a Forever Young fan. I stupidly got off of him in the Derby. Look, I know he didn't win the race, but he ran terrific that day, and I think he could actually be the favorite when it's all said and done.
Well, and that's going to be interesting, that portion of it. I'm not going to reference Fierceness as being a forgotten horse per se, but with all the with all the conversation about the Japanese contingent and the interest in City of Troy, the focus actually has really not been on Fierceness post Travers.
It hasn't, and the forgotten horse is going to be Sierra Leone.
Yeah,
there's a horse that people have signed off on as they're not going to use him because he doesn't win and he doesn't do this, and he's now at Del Mar on a track that doesn't favor his style. But that's the horse I'm interested to see what price he is. Is he 10? Is he 12? Am I wrong? And people didn't forget about him, and he's going to be 6 or 8. I'm curious to see how that horse is set. I've watched him train. He trains as well, same, which is good, very good. At Belmont, I don't think there are any issues now with the steering. It's just a matter of will he get the pace and will it be enough time to get up. But to me, he's going to be the forgotten horse of the classic.
The international, obviously, the City of Troy equation that people are going to consider, and beyond that, we've kind of hit on most of these topics. Most of these major players. And we should mention Newgate. Newgate yesterday announced the news comes that he's got stud plans. Right, he'll head.
Sure, they're all going to retire. I mean, most of them.
Pretty much.
I mean, actually, they haven't said anything about Sierra Leone. Moving forward into next year, I actually was at Peter Brandt, who's a part owner of this horse, was at the last workout on Saturday at Belmont, and he said that just no decision's been made yet. And Chad, I know, is hoping that he thinks this horse could have a big 4-year-old year. So I actually hope they give him the opportunity, whatever he does in this race, first, sixth, 12th. I just think he could be a really good 4-year-old, and I hope. We're going to need somebody, so I hope he stays in
train. Well, then the Newgate news, he'll go to Three Chimneys, and there'll probably be a few more of these announcements. The two horses that right now would have liked to have run and would need defections, Pyrenees for Cherie and Blue Heaven and Kenny McPeak, Rattle and Roll. And Kenny was very excited about Rattle and Roll, going into into the last, and I'm sure that he would have loved to have gotten him into this race.
I don't see why. The horse has run once in a year and was the third place finish in the Lucas Classic. He is entered in the Fayette Stakes, doesn't have to run, but he is entered. You know, we'll see if any of these horses, there are some second preference horses in the Classic that would go elsewhere. I was a little surprised. I actually asked this question at the conference. Derma Sotogaki getting in over Pyrenees, I thought was a little curious. Not the biggest snub in the world. I think Howard Wallace was probably that.
But we'll get to that.
And Tom Robbins was very candid. He said, "Look, this was these discussions usually don't take that long." He said, "This one took a very long time in ranking these horses and putting." And basically, I think Derma Sotogaki running second in the Classic last year did play a significant role in him getting in over Pyrenees. I don't think it's an easy choice because Derma Sotogaki really hasn't been that good this year. He finished fifth in all three of the starts, I believe. Now, in the Saudi Cup, he was only beaten two and a half lengths or so. But, I thought it was mostly based on what he did this year, but apparently not because the second place finish in last year's Classic, I think, tilted the tie for him.
I mean, the horses run since last year's Derby. He's run four times: the Breeders' Cup Classic, the Saudi Cup, the World Cup, and that tune-up at Funabashi.
He actually ran okay in that race, but
yeah,
but still, the horse, Pyrenees has a Grade Three win and two Grade One seconds. That might have been enough to carry the day. I think for Pyrenees, I think it's really going to come down to what the connections of Skippy Longstocking do, because in my conversations with Safi and then in things I've read elsewhere, he sort of said two different things. Like I got the feeling he was leaning toward the Classic. I read somewhere else he's leaning toward the dirt mile. I think all in all, it comes down to I don't think they really are 100% sure what they want to do. So I think of the ones that could potentially defect, I think he would be the one. And that, again, is prior to, I don't want to say inevitable, but the potential for a scratch, either by something obvious or something that a Breeders' Cup / Del Mar bet sees that the trainer and owner don't.
The rest of this field, Senior Buscador, he is also cross-entered in the mile, but...
Which makes no sense to me, but that's fine.
Yeah, he's running here. Joey Peacock.
Mixto's a horse that you'd be like, if he wasn't a win in your eight, he won the Pacific Classic. It was a win in your eight. He's here. But, this horse is going to be 20-1 or higher. Tappet Trice, won a four-horse Woodward. I've always liked Tappet Trice, but I don't know if I like him in this spot. But, obviously all the respect in the world for Todd and the breeding on this horse. Who else did we not talk? I think we talked about everybody
that's
else. So,
that's pretty much everybody.
It's a solid field, solid group of horses that people, at least once upon a time, really liked. And see how the betting goes out of it. I'm kind of curious. Kind of curious to see where... how this race is been.
Well, you made reference to one of the, I think, more irksome decisions. And let's talk about, before we go to the juvenile, which you're also covering, let's talk about that mile situation, because I know that Al Gold was, just kind of stunned.
Are you talking about the mile or the turf sprint?
The turf sprint, excuse me. And Al was stunned to be on the outside looking in.
Yeah, when my phone rang yesterday and I saw Chad Summers on the line, I knew where that was going. I don't know. You win a Grade One here, and eight up stables. It felt like his form is. I'm not sure how he gets in over Howard Wallowitz, so I really don't know. I didn't ask that question yesterday. I probably should have, but I didn't. Yeah, I don't know what to tell them. Look, when you start putting horses that are winning and running well in graded stakes in North America behind horses that are not running as well in Europe, then all that leads is to an eventual downgrade of some of these graded stakes in North America. So you're just basically saying that these races aren't good enough. Or are you just placating the Europeans? Hey, you know, we don't want to upset the apple cart here. We want them to bring as many horses as they can, and you sort of make a case for horses, whether for a European horse, when there's not a case to be made. And this one just kind of, this was surprising.
Well, and I mean, and you picked out Aesop's Fables, and granted, the colt did participate last year in the turf spread. He was third to No Balls and Big Invasion, but then subsequently, he's got a win in a modest stake at Nace. And then this fall, the two starts September, October. He was 10th of 15, beaten 3 and change, and 10th of 16. So, I mean, if they're going back to last year's form and giving added points for, participation last year, doesn't it reek of not wanting to disappoint, Team Coolmore and Aiden?
Yes. And I would also say, Big Invasion really hasn't had the kind of year that maybe once. And he won the Harvey Pack Stakes and has been 10th in a couple of other big races, and he was 4th in the Eddie D. And I don't know, why is he in over? Am I wrong about this? Not here. Why is he in over a Grade One winner? So you can make a case for, that European horse, why is that horse in over 10? But, I mean, seriously, they're putting stock in, like you say, participation. Big Invasion was second in this race last year, so he gets it. So Aesop's Fables was third in this race last year, so he gets in. So they're protecting their races. They're saying our races, our Breeders' Cup races, are the standard. So if you do well in a Breeders' Cup race, even though it was a year ago, you're going to get preference over horses that either didn't participate or weren't around by then. Like, I don't think even Howard Wallace might have started by the time the Breeders' Cup was run last year. So, obviously he's a 3-year-old. So I think that's the message they're sending. You run in our race 1 year, we're going to bring you back the following year. Right? Wow. I mean, Big Invasion, Ace of Stable, second and third in the race last year, had not had good years this year. But they're in because they were second and third in the race last year. And Joe Sotogaki, second in the race last year, classic. Has not had a good year, but he's here. So it's just quite evident that, I guess from that standpoint, there's consistency, right? You run with us, you can run back. And that's what I think, that's just right there in black and white.
Well, and of course, also a little bit compromised or hurt by the fact that they can only run 12 in the two turf sprints instead of 14.
12 enough.
I won't argue that, but it. Well, of course, Star of Mystery ran last week, but there's no reason why I imagine she is going to run back. You also had Motorious, who had a win, and you're in. Yeah, Aesop's is the obvious big toe, as it were. Beyond that, I mentioned earlier, Dave, before you joined us, that the three filly and mare turfers that also entered the turf, and that opens the door, we assume, for Cabo Spirit, which happens to be important because, at first glance, people are going to wonder, is Cabo Spirit not getting in? But he especially with Next leaning toward the classic, it only takes any of the filly and mare turf cross enters, Emily Upjohn, Content, and Wingspan, to go in the filly and mare, and so Cabo will get in.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that that Illinois topic too with and Luxembourg.
Yeah, I need to go back and review my notes on that too. I know there was one horse he was saying that it didn't sound like he was sending everybody over for that race. Like I think even Steve Anderson, if you read Steve's piece on the turf, I think he had got it more clearly lined up the one on the website. He updated with some comments from Aiden off that conference call. I just can't remember exactly. I was listening and packing and all that stuff.
Dave, turn to before I throw some domestic topics at you. Turn to your Friday feature and the juvenile. Everybody that was interested gets to come. Baffert's got the three-headed monster, but none of them will be first or second choice. They're all okay, but obviously Chancellor McPatrick and East Avenue and the sort of out of sight, out of mind Jonathan's Way. This is a fun group in the juveniles. A good bunch of
juveniles. I believe 7 graded stakes winners are in here, and I don't know how many graded stakes there are up to 2 year-olds to 4 down. So it's almost I don't want to say every. Obviously, there's a couple of Saratoga that horses that didn't go on, but I'd say maybe there's 9 to 11 graded stakes for 2 year-olds on the dirt before now, and 7 of them are here. So it's a really good field. You couldn't have been more visually impressive than East Avenue was in the Breeders' Futurity, and that running style seemed to give him a little bit of a leg up over Chancellor McPatrick. But my conversations with Chad and Flavian Pratt on, they think this horse has a little bit more speed than he's shown. Now, maybe he does, and maybe the horse himself just doesn't want to show it. Like, I don't know if I said it on your show or somebody else's asked me about it. But Chancellor McPatrick seems to be the type of horse that he tells the rider when he's ready to go. The rider doesn't say, let's go. and when the horse is ready to run, he runs. But, you got to hope that he's, gets himself a little bit more involved early. It's just a difficult, seems like a difficult chore to kind of rally from as far back as he's been. But I'm fascinated to see him against East Avenue. Talk about horses that are out of sight, out of mind. Gaming for Bob, his 3. There's a horse he skipped the American Pharoah, or skipped. He ran the Del Mar Futurity. He's 2 for 2 at Del Mar. That's a plus. He's got IRAD. That's a plus. By a Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner. That's a plus. He's trained by a guy who's won the race 5 times. That's a plus. and here he is listed as 8 to 1. And even shorter than Ferocious, who's 6 to 1, who likes to find trouble and often does. He was very impressive, obviously, in his debut, but he might have been his own. I didn't really like his hopeful. It seemed like he was only emboldened by when Chancellor McPatrick came up to him. So, I think he's a nice horse, but I'm not sure that he should be shorter than a horse that's gaining. Maybe a figure. Maybe it's a figure thing. I don't know. But I'm interested. And my thing, and I've said this a million times, and I hope I'm proven wrong eventually, but Jonathan's Way is coming out of a race, the Iroquois, that just does not bode well for juvenile winners. 0 for 15, not this time with second, and that's the best finish. And I just think it's a matter of timing. I think it's sort of in no man's land, that race, from a timing standpoint. Do you come back in a race like the Breeders' Futurity, or do you train up to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile? And I'm sure one day, maybe this year, maybe Saturday, or a week from Saturday, Friday, Jonathan's, the Iroquois will produce a winner, but he's been good, but he's going to have, So Bauer's going to really have to get him geared up, really hone down on him to get him ready to go a mile 16, 2 turns against this group, shipping from Kentucky. Love that.
There's the 2 Japanese colts, and Dave, you and I, we made an attempt, and I know David Aragona is going to join us tomorrow and go over the 5 juvenile races and the line for the 5 and sort of create some storylines around the Friday races a week out. You and I and David also have been scouring Japanese websites to watch the replays. And Ikoro Azel, and maybe much more prominently, Shin Believe from Mr. Mori, they've got to be interpreted both literally and figuratively.
Yeah, look, I don't know what to do with them in this particular year, right? I think there's some Japanese horses that could make some noise in aside from the Classic in some of their Saturday races, because I think the fields are just, okay. I think this is a really good juvenile field, and I would almost be a little disappointed if one of those Japanese horses comes and beats these horses, beats a late horse like Chancellor Patrick, East Avenue, Gaming, John, I think there's some really real talent in here from the American side. So we'll see. I don't know what to do with those two horses. I know that Akela Gonzalez run twice. American Bikini, the filly who's in the juvenile filly, beat him handily in a little stake in Japan in September, which I guess I can watch that race. I haven't found it yet, but I can. I don't know what to do with it.
I'm just noticing on David's line is a big number. Is the Yak Team
McKinney Street? If he hasn't been able to, I'm not sure I know why he would be able to turn the tables on me. Stafford horses here. I thought his race in the American Power was just okay. I didn't get me that excited. The best thing he's got going for him is his sire. His sire's Red Hot right now, McKinsey. But I don't know. I wasn't overly impressed with his performance in the Farrow.
Well, notably, his figs have gone. Is interesting as the distances have stretched out. He's out of a tail of the cat mare and. 81 to 79 to 77, so he's slowing down as he stretches out. But the first two starts, I mean, he posted the kinds of figs that make him competitive with the big players. And then, Ferocious, to go back to Ferocious for a second, I think he's going to end up being an overlay when those gates open.
I agree, and he got bumped around pretty good that first time. Early going into the first turn in the British Futurity, and I guess my thing with the British Futurity, which is it's not a knock, it's just when you try and poke holes in short priced horses, is that I didn't think too many horses did much running in that race. Pretty much the top two is about it. So whatever talent was in there, I'm not saying those horses won't eventually turn out to be good horses. It just seemed like only two horses did any running, and early in that meet, if not the whole meet, speed was, you had to be there. You had to be forward. And it seemed like the two horses that were ran 1-2. Ferocious was fourth early, but he did move up. I'm not throwing Ferocious out. He does get reunited with Castellano, who I believe is back today in New York, and, didn't work the horse last Saturday. So, but that would be my only sort of poke hole in East Avenue, which is that he was on a track, his style on a track that was, just totally Steve Avery, helped him look maybe better than it was, but it was still a very good race. And he's coming to a track that will flatter that style. So, Steve, you want to talk domestically? Because I do need to run. So if you want to, if you have something else.
The only other note from Friday, Mentee, who is leaning right, is intended for the juvenile turf.
Correct, yeah. That's where he's going to go. So that, I believe, that would have let Gateway or Gate to Wire.
Exactly.
He should be able to get in with Menti going to the turf,
Very good. All right, let's turn to a couple of things, including today. We got the pick six carryover and crazy circumstance. Keeneland, Aqueduct, Santa Anita, 3 days in a row, six-figure carryovers.
Crazy, right?
Wild. I mean, the stories write themselves. This is a challenging sequence. It's a gorgeous day here.
Well, that's good. It's been a gorgeous fall. I mean, it's been pretty remarkable. I guess we'll see. Take a horse like El Grando. I don't know what to do with that horse if he runs. I mean, I could see Lindo's. Well, I guess she didn't enter back this Sunday, right, in the New York Red Race. But there's a horse that's been pretty talented and now has been off a long layoff and coming back. This is race 7, the feature today. First race 6 and off a long layoff. And I think he's definitely, he should be the favorite. He's accomplished a lot more in this field. Like, what do you do with a horse like Classify, who just likes to run second all the time?
I like Classify.
Yeah, look, you love to own him, right? He gets you a check every time, but man, you have to use him, but you don't really necessarily love it. Knowing that, you know, you can very easily run second. What else do you want to talk about? Let's see, race six, Mitch Friedman's horse in that maiden optional 50, Western Wolf, I thought ran a pretty good race.
I agree.
One of the few wet tracks that we had. Castellano named to ride. You know, sometimes these guys come back off the bench and they get on a live one, and that could be one right there. What else do you want to look here? The fourth race, the maiden 75 on the turf. You've got the Chad and Cherie horses. It's satisfactory stamp of approval. What do you do with Linda off the claim there? Positive carry. I think you could just get away with those three.
Well, Andy had a big negative stat on Linda with the Chad claims, actually. So we were trying to get away with maybe just the four and the five in that spot.
That's fine. We started in the third, right?
Yes.
Marie, I guess, maybe. Coming back off the rail. Belinda with what do you do with Sweet Anniversary? You're the guy, there's a trainer, and Michael Anthony Fowler had a really good Saratoga. He only hasn't won at Aqueduct in like 7 years.
That's shocking, actually.
I have it in the story, but and then the one time the horse did run out of Finger Lakes, he was beaten, but that race turned out to be okay. That Cruz de Catalina won here Sunday. Lolita, who's second, is in that spot for Mott, who's having just a dreadful lead. Two for 50 with 12 seconds. So, like I said, it's a fun sequence. It's a challenging sequence, and not a game made for short pants, right?
Before I ask you about the Saturday stakes, one story that didn't get any mention, and I have not had a chance to to acknowledge it. Linda Rice becoming the winningest female conditioner in the game's history, and I would have thought that would have received a little bit more of a huzzah.
Well, it did in Daily Race Report.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You wrote it exactly.
Right. I'm not going to account for others and what they feel is news and what they feel is not. But I think it's a major accomplishment. Look, the most impressive thing about Linda's accomplishment is that it's mostly been done in New York. She's got 2,500 wins, and if it's 2,200 or in New York, it's not far off, right? I mean, I think that's impressive to maintain what she's done over a 30-year period in New York. Yeah, she had some of those issues there, whether she was getting the pass, whether performances of horses that were in the race or not, you still have to put the horse in the right spot and stuff to win those races. And believe me, if you looked at those races that she was putting horses in, whether she knew or didn't, there weren't a ton of wins there. She's done it with McClaimer, she's done it with Staybred, she's done it with 2-year-olds, she's done it with older horses. She's done a really nice job. She doesn't and will not probably never get the credit that she fully deserves, but she's one of the hardest working trainers back there. She will adapt. She'll complain, and like every other trainer, she'll complain about the move to synthetic for the winter in a couple of years or in a couple of winters. But unlike most of the trainers, she'll adapt. She'll get the horses that fit, and she'll probably be the leading trainer at the winter.
She'll do fine. And don't forget, of course, that the family with Adam and Kevin competed during the seasons at Presque Isle. So she'll end up getting some of those horses moving her way, right about this time of year to take them through the winter. Yeah, there's plenty of reason. Dave rounded out with a quick hit, the Bold Ruler, the 49er, and the Mother Goose. It's a nice card Saturday.
It is a good card on Saturday. Bold Ruler, I was just writing that up, Top Gunner. Brad Cox is having a tremendous meet, and he's actually, he's found a new way to find stakes horses, the claim box. He's been claiming for Michael Dubb, he's been claiming for Sammy Goldfarb, he's playing the turf wars. That's running Sunday, I believe. Hush the Storm in the actually in the Ticonderoga, I guess, or the Mohawk. I can't remember. But he's got Top Gunner, who he claimed at Saratoga out of a race that produced four next out winners, which he was the fourth when he won the Park Sprint in the dark at Parks in that last race at the Pennsylvania Derby card. So it turned out to be a nice little sprinter for them for the wintertime, fall and winter in New York, and I think he looks pretty good in that spot. And then Scotland, they're cutting back to six furlongs for the first time. You know, that race that he ran six furlongs in June at Churchill, Happy the Choice just won the Louisville Thoroughbred Society race, and then Surveillance, who was third in that spot, came back and won the Off the Turf Troy. And now it's back in this spot after, you know, he's just a better, apparently Surveillance is a better dirt horse than the turf horse. But interesting that they decided to go for the six furlong race as opposed to the mile. Here's a horse that won the Curlin last year at a mile and eighth. But Scotland with a nice, cozy outside post where the air is fresh and clean. I think it could work out a nice trip. 49er, if you talk to Rick Dutrow, you'll mortgage your house and go bet on Messier. He's loving how this horse is doing. Coming up to this spot, not an easy spot, but he's really liking how this horse is doing. And I will throw in one long shot just based on works. Filmstar really worked well his last work. I think they gave him credit for a minute and two fifths, but he really galloped out super in that move. So just for vanity insurance, I'll probably put a few dollars on Filmstar.
Nice.
Just because of the way that horse worked last time, or at least I'll use him with Messier. And Coastal Mission has run well in New York. It was second to Mulligan in the Bay Route back in the summertime. And then the Mother Goose, you've got the sort of the ode to Gunrunner. You've got three progeny of Gunrunners, and you've got a half-sister to Gunrunner, Pretty Anna. Gunsong coming off the near upset of Filipino Anna. Does she bounce? Does she not bounce? Don't know. Life Talk. Does she move up? Life Talk's a bit interesting. I'm curious to see what her price might be, just because I thought she was doing her best running late in that Seneca overnight, which was her first start off the layoff. She galloped, not that, you know, I know they don't pay on the gallop out, but she did gallop out way in front of that field. And then Tarifa, can she find her fairgrounds form? I thought she ran okay in the cotillion. She just couldn't hold in long enough for Gunsong's connections liking. And then Pretty Anna's a bit interesting, you know, Chad moving into the dirt based on pedigree. She's a half-sister to Gunrunner, and her dirt race is back for previous trainer Steve Askison were not good. Her turf races were, you know, I don't think Chad was overly enamored. I know she was third once, but I think he's just liking the way she's been breathing. One note, her last workout last weekend was with Ways and Knees, and she stuck great with her in the move. So, we'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, good card. 11 races. Even ended with a nice little state bred maiden race turf field on the grass, which that turf course is winding down there. They used it, I think, 95 races in 22 days or something like that. So get your last looks in on the grass.
Well, we're not giving up on this grass until the snow flies. I mean, come on, don't be rushing us off the turf here.
We're off the turf November 17th, buddy. Don't you read the condition book? November 17th.
Now let's make the most of it. I want to get one more in at least with Shazando, and of course we're running today too.
Okay. Well, good luck today.
Thank you.
Run well, and I hope you're able to get Shazando in one more time. Actually, Rumbauer, I think I mentioned him a little bit. I think he was a sneaky good race last time. You could light it up there for the pick six player.
There's a lot to like. Get the extra eighth, stretch out to the mile in the eighth, and certainly the way he finished gives every indication he'll take to that, and Jose Lascano, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the first time Jose has donned our jacket as well.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so I'm excited to get Jose. Jose fits him style-wise. So,
okay.
Dave, sorry you're not here, and let me know. Let me know if there's anything else I need to do in here. Any repair of any chairs
or vacuum? vacuum. Just have him vacuum around my desk. You know.
I will see you Saturday late or early Sunday.
Sounds good. See, thanks.
Dave Grenning, everybody, and your first look at the pre-entries, if you haven't had a chance yet, and you know, all of the sundry services and the the PPs, Briz was out quickly. VRF actually was up quite early as well. I know that maybe we'll get an update from Jeff Franklin later, but I know that I think the Friday card, I think Jerry and Thurgraf pretty close. I would think this afternoon you'll see the pre-entry package from Thurgraf. I'll get a confirmation of that. When we talk tomorrow to James and talk some BrizNet, the Ultimate Breeders' Cup handicapping package, which is just, you know, chock full. DRF as well, the pre-entry piece that includes the stories. You know, Brad will write typically Brad Free writes a Delmar piece that, gives you an indication of configuration and how that figures in and pace scenarios, and we'll do plenty of that ourselves. That's always one of our favorite segments. Typically, James and Nick Tamaro. Entry day is Monday for those that that aren't watching the the calendar aspect closely. So you got basically, four full days to just get a handle on what you're going to encounter. And based on what we just talked about with Dave, there really is not as much uncertainty about cross entries and the like. Not a lot. I think it's pretty static. We got about 15 minutes to spend with Tony Black. Going to be joined by Joe Clancy after the 10:30 break. We'll get Joe's post Far Hills thoughts, and then Dave Hill, Jeff Franklin, and Rich Chang. All right. Watching for, at the same time as we wait for Tony, I'm watching for the changes here in New York. I've already put up the selections and at least the framework of a pick six approach. And with 124,000 in this pick six figure 375, this'll get between 500,000 and 600,000. You would think maybe a little more, 650, in that range, right? And I've done all the printout for Santa Anita, but I'll work on that for tomorrow. Haven't had a chance. That's the one I got out in front of. I got out in front of Keeneland and New York. New York, obviously, I was particularly out in front of because we're involved in on the card. No changes. No changes yet. It's going to end up being a busy day. We've got a Turf Writers and Broadcasters meeting today. After the show, so at least I won't I won't be totally absorbed and I'll have something to distract me before the race. In fact, let me tell you, here's Thursday. Sequence starts at 1:41. Race 3, 1:41. Okay, Brian running into a problem with Tony. All right, you know what? Then take the break. Let's take the break here because we're yeah. Because even if you do get him, we're going to end up getting into trouble. And as we do that. Can tell you that the last 3 days of Keeneland, if you haven't looked ahead, quite good. Valley View tomorrow, the mile, and you'll recall that Graham Motion mentioned Memorialize. She comes back here making her 3-year-old debut. The Tepin winner from last year, who kind of waiting and watching. She returns in here. So does our friend Patrick Lewis has got the poolside with Slim. He's had a very solid year. Won the Penn Oaks and has mixed it up with a lot of these. First time North America for Brendan Walsh. That Opera Mundi. Yeah, he had mentioned her. Larace shows up in here for Clement. Off the Winter Memories win. I see that Sakura Blossom was entered. And did she... Did she enter? Not sure if she had been on the list, but I didn't notice if she entered or not, per se. That's a good question, what Leo Powell did with her. Right? She was... I do not see her at a glance. No. So this is her Breeders' Cup. Sakura Blossom. Yeah, it's a good group. Who else? Nice as Pie for Kelsey Danner and Dee Dee McKay. Keneally's got the Music City winner too, Simply in Front. Yeah, nice field of 12. And then into closing day, the Bowman Mill. The Fayette that came up a little bit with Dave. Hit Show. And we're going to talk about the Bryan Station. That's one of the two. I did the Mother Goose. If you've got your Thoroughgraph pages handy. The Bryan Station and the Mother Goose are today's races. And then if you haven't looked at that Stars of Tomorrow card, Stars of Tomorrow, one of the two great all two-year-old slates at Churchill. Very good Street Sense. Got a very nice group to look forward to for Sunday. We'll talk to probably KK and James tomorrow. Let's take a break. Back after this.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions. And offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
Want an know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing. Till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Whether you're new to the racing game or just looking to enhance your operation, Hermitage Farm and Goshen can help you. We are conveniently located between Churchill Downs and Keeneland Racecourse and near world-renowned equine hospitals. With spacious paddocks, expert staff, and qualified veterinarians, we offer full-service boarding, breeding, and sales preparation, as well as post-operative care and layup services. Visit us in person or online at hermitagefarm.com.
Just minutes from downtown Saratoga Springs, you'll find GMP Farm, a revolutionary state-of-the-art equine therapy and rehabilitation facility offering the most advanced equipment and knowledgeable staff to care for your equine athlete. From oxygen therapy and laser treatments to thermal imaging, dry salt room, and cryotherapy treatment, all alongside a 7/8 mile Tapeta training track, GMP Farm is revolutionizing equine care. To see a full list of services and book your horse's rejuvenation session, visit gmpfarm.net today.
Two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
PA Bred, I think we've built a brand at this point.
It's excitement at every step.
Roses for Deborah just set a new track record.
On average, for the past decade, Pennsylvania paid over $28 million a year in breeders' awards, restricted races, and owner bonuses. Plus, PA Bred shine on the world's biggest stage. Just three states have bred more Breeders' Cup winners. Learn more at PABred.com.